Yes.
Okay, so what I'm going to do, since we got cut off, I'm not quite sure where we exactly got cut off. I'm just going to start in the beginning of your hearing again, okay, sir?
Yes.
All right. Ms. Stevie, could you state your... And before we get started, I do want to make that we are starting over the parole hearing for Mr. Edie. We did have some technical difficulties and the video cut off in the middle, so we're going to, just to make sure that we have everything, we're going to start the entire hearing over again. So, Mr. Edie, if you would please state your name and your ADC number for us for the record, please.
Dennis Paul Edie, number 053476.
Okay, this is a parole hearing for Mr. Edie. He is serving three consecutive sentences, in which he is waiting for one of them, a burglary first degree, theft, and a aggravated assault. This is a parole hearing for a regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. Mr. Edie has stated that he had been trying to find for his release plan. He'd been finding a place to parole to. After 30 years of marriage, his wife filed for a divorce, which became final, in October 2016. By law, he can obtain ex-spousal Social Security benefits, and he would like to go to work or back to school for business management. He has had some programming. It's a carpentry program, which was the last program that he had, which was in December of 2016. Prior to that, his last class was in 2010 for constructive tech. He does have some recent tickets that he has on his record. He has an extensive record since he's been incarcerated on tickets. He has approximately 5 pages of history of tickets that he's received while he's been incarcerated. His most recent ticket that he received was in June of 17 for disobeying a verbal that was informally resolved. He then had a major for disobeying a verbal that was in March of 17, and in January of 16, he had another ticket for refusal. However, that was dismissed. Then January of 17, he had a ticket for disobeying a verbal, and he was found guilty. It was a major. And in July of 16, he had a disorderly conduct, which he was found guilty of, was a minor. And then also in March of 16, he has a refusal to programming, which was also a major. Sir, before I go any farther, what happened with these tickets that you received both in 16 and 17?
Well, most of the tickets I have received is because disobeying a direct order and stuff is refusing to house. Like in March, they told me that I had to get out of that cell and leave. They said somebody had signed for somebody else's store, and I was accused of doing it. It was not me.
Okay.
I moved in a week after they had done it, but they had told me, before that got straightened out, the inmates told me I got to leave or they were going to send me to the hospital. And so I've had a lot of problems with the inmates. I do not use drugs. I have never been gang affiliated. I do not have one tattoo on my body.
Okay.
I have never participated in any of this. And so I have, I've been, like 90% of the prisoners here use illegal drugs, shoot up, and so I don't do any of that. And they think I'm telling on them for all the stupid things they do. I don't engage in the homosexuality, none of it. So anyway, I've got a lot of tickets for refusing to house. I have been accepted by the House of Refuge in Sunny Slope, and the counselor said he faxed you guys a copy of it. I had to sign it and send the original back to him to participate in their program, which is a 120-day program minimum, 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
Which I have no problem with that. If I was going to be on a parole, that's where I would go. My mom and dad, all my aunts and uncles and stuff, in the 30-plus years I've been here, they've all passed away. And my sisters and brothers, they're all grandparents now, taking care of. And were we still connected?
Yes, sir.
Okay. They've all passed away, so I don't have those places to go. I think my wife just gave up hope that I was going to get out and file for divorce. She's 2 years older than me and just had a hip replacement stuff. She does have a pension from the state of New York. She does have her own house and residence. She is set fairly well. Okay. So a little bit of Social Security is not going to substantially bother her.
Okay. So I see.
So if I get a discharge, absolute discharge, then where my plan would be to go straight to the state of Utah and go to the Utah State University for the entrepreneur program. So if, like I said, that's where I'd go and what I would do if absolute discharge. But if I'm on a parole, then I have to stay here in Arizona, and it would be the House of Refuge.
Okay. So I see that you appeared before the parole board in 91 and 92, and you waived, and then you had a special hearing in 95 that was not recommended to the governor. So it doesn't appear that you've taken much training. I'm going to go over some of the details based on the pre-sentence report that we actually have here. And then I'm going to ask you, you know, if there's anything in here not true, but then I'm going to ask you, sir, in your own words to relate to the board what occurred that evening. Okay, so based on the information that we have here in the pre-sentence report, it says that the victim, James Pritchard, advised the officer that he had awakened at night and had gone to the restroom. Upon exiting the restroom, Mr. Pritchard stated he found himself facing an unidentified male with a flashlight in his hand who told him to freeze, and then he immediately shot him in the abdomen area. Is anything about that not true, sir?
Yeah, he left out a few things.
Okay.
My brother was there, and he took me there, and I didn't know the man. I had never, it was not my idea, but I should have said no, and I didn't, and I deeply regret that. And he was, he did confront the individuals who was in his house, and he jumped for the flashlight gun. Anyway, he got hurt, and I deeply, deeply regret that. I deeply regret being there. It should have never, ever happened. My family's been very angry at me, but you don't invade a man's space, his own house, that is his castle, that is his right. You don't do that. And that was way, way out of line, and that's way out of character for me. I didn't participate in home invasions or burglaries. I did do some residentials when I was young, but I never went into a man's personal residence. So I regret the whole thing. And boy, if we could only turn back time and take things back.
So, sir, are you saying that you were there with your brother, or?
Yeah, he took me there.
So, according to the information that I've been looking at, where was your brother at when this occurred?
He got amnesty for testifying against me.
Okay. And so what did your brother, he testified against you, so did your brother say that he wasn't involved, or what did he do?
No, he said that I was the culprit, I was the one that shot the man.
Mm-hmm. And are you saying that your brother was the one who shot the man, or are you taking the...
No, sir. No, sir, I'm not saying that at all.
Okay.
I'm saying that I was taken there and I shouldn't have went there, and I was wrong for being there, and I was wrong for being involved, for shooting the man, for all that. Yes, I accept responsibility for all that.
Okay. So you haven't taken much training since you've been in there, many classes. Why not?
Because the inmates have made it hard for me to do anything. They mess with me when I'm asleep. They move me from place to place. Like I said, they think that I'm telling on them for the stuff that they do on. But 90% of the inmates shoot dope. I do not do any of that. I do not smoke cigarettes. I don't chew tobacco. I don't drink alcohol. I have nothing to do with any of that. And I've been given a real, real hard time by these other inmates that do participate in all that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
As a young man, I took carpentry. It was in drafting, I was the best in the class. I was like straight A in drafting. I was real, real good. We had our own cabinet shop. I sent you a letter about 2 months ago.
Yeah, I see we have a four-page letter in here for you, sir.
Yes, yeah, I missed some of the training stuff that I actually had before I came to prison. I took the federal government train me with metal, everything that you can possibly do with metal, how to read the different chemical composition makeups of the metal and what that particular metal can be used for. I do have training. And right now I'd like to start a toy company. I used to make toys when I was a juvenile with my dad, and before I started framing houses and what have you. And I would like to start making some little pedal cars and little boats, pedal boats and that type of stuff for my grandchildren. I have a granddaughter just turned 11. I have a grandson 7 and one 5.
Okay.
My son was 6 months old when I got arrested. He's completed his third year of college, dropped out, and married his childhood sweetheart. And about 10 months later, they had their first child. So that's the family that I have, and I'd like to help support my grandchildren. They live on the East Coast, over there, about 30 miles north of Syracuse. Like I said, I would like to go to the state of Utah and attend their entrepreneur program, become educated in how to run a business and how to do things right. I'm also involved with the LDS Church, and I will do the volunteer type things for the community and that type thing. I wasn't involved in community activities as a you know, all my life, but I would I see the need for that now.
Okay, Mr. Eddie, I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions at this time. Mr. Quinones.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Eddie, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
The question I have, I know that Mr. Johnson touched upon it, but you have a really extensive history of discipline inside the Department of Corrections. And it's not limited to some of the things that you were saying. Maybe you were talking about some things that happened recently. Certainly, you sound like a very reasonable person. Talking to you on the phone, but there's some violent stuff in here, you know, physical assault, threatening staff, and I'm good over the years. What did you not hear, sir?
Something about assault.
I said, yeah, there's some violent activity in here, physical assault, disorderly conduct, threatening harm.
Yeah, one of the
conduct, criminal damage, well, that's not aggravated assault. So I recognize that each of these incidents, there's a story behind that, and I don't want to take up too much time here, but I guess what I'm saying is you have a very extensive history of discipline, and it's not limited to the smaller infractions. So did you get in a lot of fights?
Yeah, I have been assaulted several times. Back in March, March 2010, 11. They had moved me from one yard to another and moved me in with a black guy, and he said we could not live together. And I says, okay, well, if we agree to this, I have no problem with that. So as I'm leaving, the officer didn't let me have my diet that I had there, my food, that he came with me, and I stopped to ask her why, and I stepped behind my back. They were taking me to the yard office, and we're in the little tunnel area. I stopped to turn to ask her, and she was talking to the other officer, not paying attention, and she bumped into me and started screaming assault. I never touched her. So I had nothing but bad luck. I have SMU, I've had two inmates get out of their cell and assault me, beat me in front of the staff at SMU 1. I have been assaulted several times by other inmates. I have a scar on my lips, got cracked open and stuff. I was laying down trying to sleep, and a Mexican guy split my lip open and stuff. And of course, any time that an inmate assaults another inmate, you both get write-ups and accused of fighting. And I have done everything I can to not fight nobody.
I appreciate it, sir. Thank you for your response. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
All right, sir. I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions. So, Dr. Wright.
Yes, thank you. Mr. Elliott, now how long have these inmates had an in for you? It seems to me, is that something recent, or that something happened, just been going on ever since you've been incarcerated, sir?
Yeah, well, the first 10 years wasn't too bad, and then I came into protective custody. Back then, I've been here over 30 years, and the Aryan Brotherhood used to, a pro-white prison gang used to pretty much run the prison population, especially the white guys. And I was trying to attend church services and stuff, and they said that that was a Jewish sympathizer, so that was one of the Aryan Brotherhood is blood in and blood out. Like, you have to stab somebody or something like that to become a member. And the guys like me that go to church or have nothing to do with it, we're set up to be the victims. Because, oh man, it's been nothing but a nightmare. So it's been going on well over 20 years.
Okay, I understand. Okay, you've answered that one. So now, you mentioned your wife or your ex-wife. Now, where is she now? Is she in Arizona, or she lives somewhere else in the
country? No. She lives in Syracuse, just the same place that I met her, and we got married. That's the same place she filed for divorce. She got tired of waiting, I do believe. She lives in Liverpool, New York, which is a suburb of Syracuse.
Aside from the Church of the Latter-day Saints, is there any other reason you want to relocate to Utah, sir?
To go to school.
Okay.
The school is the University of Utah has an entrepreneur program. I just had a newspaper clipping that your church sent me, and from the top, Princeton University did a survey of these type of program throughout the United States. 2,525 graduate programs, and the University of Utah placed 23 on the graduate program list, and then they went ahead and dumped like $54 million into that particular program, increasing the work area, hands-on area, to 20,000 square feet and opening it up 400 bed unit.
Okay, so let me just ask this now. Have you already been admitted to that program, or have you made application for that program, sir?
I've wrote them a letter, but I have not received a response yet, and that's where I would go with an absolute discharge. Is it if I have to take a parole, be here in Arizona, stay in Arizona, then I would go to the House of Refuge, and I do have a letter of acceptance to their program.
Okay, well, thank you so very much, sir. Thank you, Honorable Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Board, any more questions?
Sir, the board's going to go into a discussion. During the time that we're in discussion, we'll make a determination as to revoke or to revoke, to reinstate you or grant you or deny you parole, sir. Absolute discharge, regular parole, or home arrest, sir. But this is your hearing, sir. I want to give you the opportunity to make any comments or provide any information to the board that you haven't already provided, and please don't repeat yourself, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank the gentlemen, men, ladies, and gentlemen of the hearing. I appreciate you very much. I would like to take this opportunity to say that I do attend religious services now, and that I have attended them for some time, and that I will participate in any volunteer programs, whether it's picking up glass alongside the highway and trash in tin cans, or if it's repairing somebody's house that they need some carpentry work done. I would go to Texas and help those people if the church would transfer me and have me work in a program there, and it would be acceptable here. I would do that. I would do the volunteer program things. I said my work is very, very good. My name is Bobby Lynn Beeson. I was born 3353, and my mom was not married at that time. About a year later, she met and married a guy, and my name became Beeson at that time. All my scholastic records are in the name of Bobby Beeson. I have won several awards. My brother died when I was 4 years old. He drowned in a bathtub. His name was Lanny. I stood there and watched it. My mom was getting me ready for a birthday party. I didn't know at that time what was going on. From that time on, I had a daredevil type attitude and don't give a damn. I became suicidal at that time. I was, only years later since in here and talking about it, that why this happened is I suffered from PTSD. I was diagnosed with PTSD as of February 1997, February 1997. Many, many years have passed, and I sat down and wrote a whole extensive thing from everything I could remember from my childhood and putting things in perspective of why things happened, how come things unfolded as they did, and that has done more to alleviate the PTSD than anything else that there is. So in here, I tried to go to the men's treatment unit, and they said because I have a life sentence, DOC would not put me in the men's treatment unit. So I have done what I can. I've talked to the psychologist and the psychiatrist, and I have worked on the PTSD the best I can to resolve it. I think I came a long ways on accomplishing that. But that I'm not going for any type of a disability. In fact, I have no disability. I walk, talk, and I can think like any other human being. I do. The PTSD has pretty much been alleviated. It will not be a problem in the future. It is not a problem now. It has been overcome. Medication for PTSD is only supposed to be a short-term type thing. Through the counseling, you're supposed to overcome it. It's not supposed to be a lifelong impairment. PTSD usually happens to children. It does not usually happen to veterans in war and that type thing. But the children don't have an organization to sponsor to help them get the help that they need. The veterans do have an organization, but children don't. And so I went undiagnosed for several years. And so it took a while when I was diagnosed to come to this realization and to overcome my stumbling block. And all the crimes I'm currently serving the sentences, they're all one crime, happened in one place, one time, they're all running together. I said, now I still have to make a little bit of restitution. I will do that. I said, now I look forward to being involved in the community service, to setting a good example for my grandchildren. Well, if you have any more questions, I will be, I'll do my best to answer them.
I don't have any more questions. You are still in PC custody, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, thank you. So the board's going to go into discussion. While the board's in discussion, sir, we're going to ask you to remain silent, hour to remain on the line. The board's now in discussion. We'll get right back with you when the board's made a decision, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. This is Mr. Eddie. Has completed some training, but he just really hasn't done that much training while he's been incarcerated. He doesn't have a strong release plan, although he does have has researched a location to go to if he was released. However, I am really disturbed by the six pages. Actually, I have to go back through there and look at it. Six pages of disciplinary infraction that he's had since he's been incarcerated, and even more so with 3 infractions in 17 and 3 infractions in 16 and 3 more in 15. It just seems like, you know, he's in too different, and some of those infractions are actually major infractions that he has, and which I'll usually go around to disorderly conduct or refusing or disorderly conduct, refusing a verbal, but in 11, he had an aggravated assault, as Mr. Quinones was referring to, that some of these assaults involve threatening against the staff that he's actually been there since he's been incarcerated. So based on the information that we have and that I've read in his file, I think that would not be
in the best interest of the community to grant Mr. Edie a regular parole, home arrest, or absolute discharge this time. Although I do understand some of the issues that he's saying that he had was diagnosed with PTSD during 1977, that he has attended some religious programs, that if he was released, he said that he would participate in any volunteer programs, as well as if the church allowed him to and sent him, he would go to, with the authority of his parole officer, go back to Texas to assist some of the flood victims. And although those are all good things, I'm just concerned about the 6 pages of infractions that he's had since he's been incarcerated, and the lack of programming and the lack of planning that he has involved in this. He says that his divorce from his wife, he may be able to get some custodial Social Security benefits from her as a result, but that's something that we really don't know. But at this time, based on the information we have, again, like I said, and the amount of infractions that he's had of 6 pages, and most current having 3 in 17 and 3 in 16, and those are for disadvantage. I'm concerned about Mr. Eddie being out on parole and being able to follow the structure or follow the system. So I'm not in favor at this time of granting a parole for Mr. Eddie, but I'm willing to listen to the rest of the board. I have no comments from the board. I am. Mr. Neal, did you have something?
No.
Okay, we have no comments from the board. I am going to make a motion to deny Mr. Edie general parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest at this time.
Second.
Agree.
Okay, Mr. Eddie? Sir?
Yes.
Okay, the board has voted to deny you absolute discharge or home arrest or regular parole at this time. I'm going to go through some of the reasons for denial. It's going to be serious and violent offense, loss of human life.
There is no loss of life?
No.
Oh, no.
There's no loss.
No loss. Multiple victims. History of softer behavior, poor institutional behavior, recent disciplinary infractions, also marked lack of programming, no family support or community support, and poor or no release plan.
Mr. Chairman, I would like also to suggest a 1 year set off.
Okay.
I don't know how other board members feel.
I agree, sir.
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay, we also will mark it for a 1 year set off. Mr. Eadie, did you hear the reasons for your denial, sir?
Mr. Eadie, have a copy of that in writing, please?
Yes, sir, you will get that. Okay?
Yeah.
So, Mr. Eddie, that is going to conclude your hearing at this time. I do want to thank you for taking the time out and participating in your hearing at this time. That's going to conclude the hearing.
Please get a phone back to your 03.